VOA News. I'm Steve Norman reporting. Office of South Korean President Moon Jae-in says he and President Trump have reaffirmed the need to bring North Korea back to the negotiating table by applying maximum sanctions and pressure. Mr. Trump had tweeted earlier in the week that talking is not the answer after Pyongyang's latest missile launch, which Kim Jong-un called a simulation of war meant to demonstrate his military's capability to strike the U.S. territory of Guam. White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders was asked by VOA to clarify Mr. Trump's stance on diplomacy with Pyongyang.
The president's looking for an integrated process, and we're continuing to move forward on that. We take North Korea extremely seriously, and all options are on the table. That hasn't changed.
Those options, both President Trump and Sanders have repeatedly stated, include military action. Kenyans reacted with celebration, frustration, and shock on Friday after their Supreme Court ordered a do-over of last month's presidential election because of irregularities. President Uhuru Kenyatta defeated opposition leader Raila Odinga by a margin of about 1.4 million votes. Both were on the streets Friday with their supporters. Rescuers continuing their search for survivors in the U.S. state of Texas 1 week after Hurricane Harvey began sweeping through the Gulf Coast region, dumping unprecedented amounts of rain, displacing more than 1 million people, and claiming the lives of at least 39 others. Meantime, tens of thousands of people remain in evacuation centers throughout the region. This is VOA News. And several areas across South Asia have been hard hit by flooding from monsoons. VOA's Philip Alexio is following the story.
Monsoons have flooded India's commercial capital this week, toppling a building. The destruction claimed at least 32 lives. Karachi, Pakistan, saw heavy rain Thursday, and storms were expected across the country for several days. Bangladesh and Nepal have also experienced severe flooding that forced hundreds of thousands of people from their homes. In total, this monsoon season has killed more than 1,200 people across South Asia. Philip Alexio, VOA News.
About 400 people have died in violence in Myanmar's Rakhine State over the past week, almost all of them Muslim insurgents. Members of the minority Rohingya Muslim community, however, have reported attacks on their villages that left scores dead and forced thousands to flee. The United Nations says at least 38,000 people have fled from Myanmar into Bangladesh, most of them Rohingya. Community leaders in Bangladesh have told VOA that some Hindus, also a minority in Myanmar, have crossed the border as well. Vikram Nehru with the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace tells VOA this could be the biggest crisis Western Myanmar has ever faced.
There is real concern that it is a tinderbox and it could explode at any time. Unfortunately, the reaction of the military to what were clearly unjustified killings that need to be condemned by this group of militants. Nevertheless, the reactions of the military have been out of proportion. And I think the Burmese government should realize the more oppressive the armed forces are in that area, the worse is going to be the reaction from the militants.
People began flowing out of their villages in Rakhine on August the 25th after a group of Muslim insurgents launched a series of attacks on police posts. There are reports that Myanmar security authorities responded with brutal raids on Rohingya villages. For the second consecutive month, the number of refugees coming to the United States dropped to its lowest level in more than a decade. This time last year, the U.S. refugee program looked dramatically different as the country ramped up efforts to resettle displaced Syrians. Two executive orders by President Trump and ensuing legal challenges have curbed the program's original cap for the fiscal year. Then-President Barack Obama set the ceiling for 2016-17 as 210,000. Mr. Trump vowed to reduce it to 50,000, and he largely succeeded. As of August 31st, just under 51,400 refugees had come to the United States since last October.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
This is Russ Davis welcoming you to a very special edition of Jazz America as we salute the masters of jazz. Yes, we do this every week, but there's a very special emphasis as we honor Charlie Parker, Horace Silver, John Coltrane, Oliver Nelson, Errol Garner, Duke Ellington, Thelonious Monk, Antonio Carlos Jobim, and more with new releases. No, these artists I just named, some of the greats of all time, don't have new releases. They've passed away years ago. But there have been a number of new releases honoring these greats with new recordings of some of their classic songs as well as some newly discovered songs. You'll hear the entire story as we answer the riddle. How can we play the best of jazz past and present at the same time? That's what we'll do. I was inspired to do this first off because I've been noticing a number of new releases from artists taking on the songs of the past in a different kind of way. Lots of people do special versions of songs that have been important to them in the past. But in this case, all new projects. And I think you'll be thrilled with the new representations of songs made famous by the artists I've mentioned earlier. I also noticed that Charlie Parker was born on the 29th of August in 1920 and Horace Silver on the 2nd of September in 1928. Charlie Parker passed away in 1955 at the age of 34. Horace Silver lived a long and fruitful life until 85. He passed away in 2014. And with these two greats having birthdays so close together, it made me want to celebrate them and their fellow artists from the past with these new releases. Let's get right to it as I give you the music of Horace Silver, interpretation by Lewis Hayes from his album Serenade for Horace. When he was just a teenager, he met and played with Horace Silver and worked in his band for 3 years, as a matter of fact. So they became friends and musical associates. And Lewis Hayes wanted to salute him with this new release, which, by the way, stayed on the top of the American jazz charts for over 5 weeks in a row. Here's Lewis Hayes with Echoro. That's Horace spelled backwards. Horace Silver's great composition to begin this edition of VOA's Jazz America.
Charlie, you really gotta see this. It was published in the Paris Review. They had a critic coming through. Charlie, they're saying you're the king of 52nd Street. And all the fools at Jimmy Ryan's don't pay any mind to what they say. You scare them silly when you play. Charlie, they're saying you're the king of 52nd Street. Guy goes on and on about you, says you are the revolution wave. He says the world has never seen Charlie race me to the bed. I think our luck has finally changed. And the shouters, they know they'd be running out of time. Deep down, they all know that it's true. Charlie, they know you the king of 52nd Street. And there's been every kind of trouble, from the knocks on to the poverty row. But now the sun is gonna shine. Charlie, you always been the king of 52nd Street. City singing hallelujah with the chorus swinging 4x4. That song they're singing is for you, Charlie. They're singing for the king of 52nd Street.
From the brilliant new release, The Passion of Charlie Parker, a number of fantastic vocalists, among them Melody Gardot, and great musicians like Donnie McCaslin on saxophone, Ben Munder on the guitar, Mark Giuliana on the drums, Eric Harland as well on drums and vibraphone, Scott Colley on the bass, Larry Grenadier on the bass, and Craig Taborn on keyboards. That is a version of Charlie Parker's classic song Scrapple from the Apple turned into the king of 52nd Street. We're going to hear another cut from this new celebration of Charlie Parker music with a twist or two as Kurt Elling sings a song made famous by Charlie Parker called Moose the Mooch, turned into a song called Los Angeles. But before we hear the song, let's talk to Kurt Elling here on VOA's Jazz America.
You know, a lot of people have made statements about the current state of jazz, wishing it could be bigger and all of this sort of thing. Personally, I don't really worry about that too much. Those that love it really love it, and that's a beautiful thing, whatever numbers they may be in. But some people have said, swing was so fantastic. It was America's pop music, and it was largely attributable to the fact that not only it was danceable music, but there were so many fantastic singers. And if we just had those singers again, maybe jazz would be popular again. Well, by golly, we've got them, and you among them, too. And I have a feeling you take it in a personal way. This is the music I'm making right now at this moment right here in this club, on this concert hall, in the studio, whatever, writing the songs you write. But do you see yourself as part of a group of people that are maybe popularizing jazz in a way it hasn't been, a level it hasn't reached in maybe the last couple of decades?
I do feel like I'm one of a group of people who have the same hope, and that is that we'll figure out some way to expose the world, the larger culture, to jazz in such a way that people actually take a minute and check it out. Because if they have that minute to check it out, under the right circumstances, with the right spirit, I believe that it's a contagious kind of music, and that it won't be limited to just this sort of relatively small cadre of spirits. Yeah, I mean, I'm hopeful, and I do what I can. I feel like, as a singer, I can bring a lot of information, musical information, to people that they wouldn't otherwise be able to wrap ears around. And in the same way that John Hendricks brought a lot of music to people that they wouldn't have necessarily even understood had a way to access, just because he put a lyric to it and it was a human voice making it. And I know, you know, like Dave Lambert and his beautiful, you know, bop scatting.
Oh, yeah.
And really, you know, you can hear it in a way that you can't hear a horn. I want to say for the not as practiced listener. Mm-hmm. They can hear the notes. They can hear the shapes a lot better, just because it's a human voice. Mm-hmm. So that's one barrier that I think I can overcome, just because of the right instrument that I play.
Lost. Angeles is less a city than a deep, deep abyss. The kind of city where evil comes around, dressed like a roly-poly clown, with bad new breath and a gold badge on. Fun for all is like a carnival of madness, such a ball. When all the playing is done, I know a dude who knows another dude that they call Moose the Mooch, Moose the Mooch. Moose is a hell of a guy, the Duke of Central Avenue. You'll know the Mooch from digging on his beautiful ties, and by the needle sharpened points in his cop eyes. Fun for all, a summer city in the shade of City Hall. When all the bling's done, I know a dude who says he knows the dude they call Moose the Mooch, Moose the Mooch. Thank you. to this, down to the moment when you cease to exist. The roller coaster's just swinging you around. Such crazy sounds they all abound. All around it is an evil town. Suicide, it's like a cavalry that never quite arrives. You get the band-aid blues, ever lost and ever so confused. They'll keep you smooth. Moose the mooch. Moose is a heaven guy. The Duke of Central Avenue. You know the mooch by digging on his beautiful ties. And by the lined up girls giving double eyes. Fun for all, a summer city in the shade of City Hall. When all the play's done, you know I know a dude who says he knows the dude they call Moose the Mooch, Moose the Mooch.
From the new release, The Passion of Charlie Parker, Kurt Elling turns Moose the Mooch into Los Angeles. And now, here is an updated version of the classic from West Montgomery, Full House, from the new release, Bringing It, from the Christian McBride Big Band, on Jazz America, from VOA 1. Now, this is what I'm talking about for our special theme on this edition of Jazz America, to take classic songs and see how they can be brought up to the 21st century. That's a song made famous by the great guitarist Wes Montgomery, Full House, turned into a big band performance by Christian McBride and his latest edition of his big band. I've got two great guitarists to play for you back to back, but first, I want to invite you to get in touch with me by email. It's very simple. I'll give you the email address to which you can write with your questions, comments, or requests for music. Here's the address. jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's jazzamerica, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. JazzAmerica@voanews.com. And here's a message I've received, which reads as follows. I am in China listening to your radio. I like jazz very much. But to be frank, I like heavy metal rock very much. Have a nice day. Thanks and best regards. Dep Lee from Shenzhen, China. Well, Dep Lee, thank you so much for your thoughts and for being very frank about your love of music. I like just about any kind of music if it's done sincerely, so I can certainly respond to and relate to what you say. Well, if you like guitar and you like versatility, then maybe you know the name John Abercrombie. John Abercrombie, a New York State-born guitarist who became an international artist playing with people all over the world, passed away on the 22nd of August. He was born in 1944, and he burst upon the scene in the mid-70s. He worked for a long time for the record label ECM Records, and his first recording for them came out in 1974. And in honor of the email we just received, here's a blending of, if you will, the hard edge of rock and the gentle playing of John Abercrombie as well, on a song that he recorded with Jack DeJohnette on drums and Jan Hammer on the keyboards, the song entitled Orange and Red. Here's John Abercrombie, Gone But Not Forgotten, here on VOA's Jazz America.
look great to me. And trouble begins to brew. Whenever the winter winds become too strong, I concentrate on you. When fortune cries nay, nay to me, and people declare you're through, whenever the blues become my only song, I concentrate on you. On your smile so sweet, so tender, when at first my kiss you do decline, on the light in your eyes when you surrender, and once again our arms intertwine. And so when wise men say to me that love's young dream never comes true,
ha ha.
John Pizzarelli, the great guitarist and vocalist, joined by a relative of Antonio Carlos Jobim, Daniel Jobim, on the song, a medley of I Concentrate on You and Wave, from the album Sinatra and Jobim at 50. In 1967, 50 years ago, Frank Sinatra and Antonio Carlos Jobim got together to perform and record a wonderful release, which became an international sensation. And John Pizzarelli, who's done the music of Sinatra and Jobim over the years, decided to pay homage to that wonderful release. And it fits right in with our theme on this edition of Jazz America, celebrating the great masters of jazz with new recordings. We're going to hear a cut from one that we've been featuring a bit over these past few weeks here on Jazz America. It's called Compassion, the music of John Coltrane, put together by two of the great saxophonists around today, Dave Liebman and Joe Lovano. Joe Lovano joins us now to talk about how he turned on to jazz, and I have a feeling, since he plays the tenor saxophone so beautifully, John Coltrane impressed him quite a bit over the years. I was just saying to somebody, if there's a jazz event, Joe Lovano is going to be there. You are just the jazz cat. Great to see you, man.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And every time we talk, I really get a sense of history, because I believe you respect and understand and have a sense of your place in history and the history of jazz in general, all 100-plus years of it. I really think you have that in your mind and in your soul. Can you agree with that statement?
Well, you know, I think, you know, you live every day. And where you've been is what gives you, you know, the sense of confidence and it's your foundations.
Here, here.
And I grew up in a real musical family. My dad played saxophone, had a great record collection that had a lot of Blue Note records in there. And I grew up knowing the players and the personalities from the recording. And I had a chance to hear people live when I was a teenager, and it all stayed with me, and it inspired me to try to be expressive on my instrument, you know. The history of the music is so much of an important part of who you are as a player.
Those first impressions were deep on you, because a lot of young kids your age were growing up with Motown and pop music and the Beatles and that stuff.
I grew up with that too, you know. That was my generation, you know. But I was really lucky, because I was informed with the history of jazz. Mm. And I recognized that the different players had their own personalities. Mm. And I was studying the saxophone as a player, as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just totally in awe of all these players. And my dad's playing too. He played beautiful. And I just wanted to try to play like him and to learn the tunes he was playing so I could play with his band. And by the time I was a teenager, I was way in there, you know, and it just propelled me into my whole life.
The magnanimous creative spirit of Joe Lovano sharing some with us right now. So good to talk to you, my friend, as always.
Thank you.
And here is Joe Lovano with Dave Liebman from Compassion, the music of John Coltrane, with their version of Coltrane's classic Locomotion on Jazz America from VOA 1. Between the years 1970 and 1977, the great pianist Errol Garner had a wonderful quartet that included Ernest McCarty Jr. on bass and Jimmy Smith on the drums, and those two gentlemen got back together to create a new release, a reunion tribute to Errol Garner, just out. And that's Errol Garner's great song, Gemini. More of our salute to the masters of the past coming up next hour.